Hey folks, welcome back. My name is Dan Fernandez. This is the Fun with .NET session. So I love this stuff because we get to actually play with .NET and show you some of the cool things on how our different technologies, whether it's communicating via Windows Phone, and we're going to be communicating to our Lego, or how we can do things like actually use Azure. And let's just get right into what we're going to show. So the first thing is we're going to use, this is a Lego Mindstorm EV3. So this is something you can buy today, and I'll just quickly go through it. But what we're going to do is spend some time writing an app using just a regular Windows Phone 8 app, communicating via Bluetooth, and actually sending commands to this robot. We have a .NET API that's available open source, available our friends Eric Havir, Clint, Ruckus, Brian Peek, and I all worked on having this library, and it's available for on NuGet as well. And it allows you to control motors, meaning we can drive this, and sensors as well. And we'll get into this once we get into the demo. Second part is we're going to use SignalR. And what SignalR allows us to do is have real-time messaging with the server. So we'll be able to, from a browser, be able to drive this. So now it's browser. This thing is listening to a centralized SignalR hub, receiving messages and relaying it on. So, and the coolest part is you as a viewer will be able to drive this robot anywhere in the world so long as you can open up a web browser. So, first things first, here's the Lego demo we're going to show. So, we are going to be communicating via Bluetooth, and our API supports both desktop WPF applications, Windows Phone applications, and Windows Store applications in a choice of languages, right? So for Windows Store, we have C++, C#, Visual Basic, and JavaScript. For our demos, we're just going to use C#. But we've been talking too much, so let's get into code. So the first thing is, let's actually just show the sample app that ships with this. So you go to Lego EV3, you download, you will see this set of sample apps. And let me just click run. And I'm running the WinRT application. And you have a choice of how you actually want to connect to this robot. So for this case, USB, Bluetooth, or Wi-Fi. Now this connection type is dependent on how you're connecting. So I'll give this a second to connect here. And we're actually connected. So this is a Windows Store app on my laptop over Bluetooth. Talking to here. So let's look at what this screen shows. And if we look really closely here, I don't know if you can see, in the very front there are these numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. This little thing is a touch sensor and it's plugged into 4. And this little thing is the ultrasonic sensor and it's plugged into number 2. And what we can do is actually read the data and set how we read data from here. Now on the back, we have two motors, one on the left and right. And they're plugged into C on the left and B on the right. So that's what the Mindstorm looks like. If we look at our screen here, and I'm not sure if we're actually seeing this very well. But we have two ports, port B and port C. And what we can do is actually send in a value. So here I'll just click 50% power for 2 seconds. And then I'll do the other one, which moves it around. And the nice thing is, this tells you whether something is empty and the type, and you can of course change the mode. So if you look over here, we can set degrees. And this instead of is like more of like a step motor. Instead of going for a certain amount of seconds at a certain power, now it's going to go a certain number of degrees. And you can see that just moved it. So a couple other things that you can see here is reading the raw sensor information. So this is the basic application, really shows you, let me make sure that it can actually talk to the device, find out what's plugged in, and then be able to change some of the configuration. But me as a developer, I want to actually write my own code. So we're going to switch projects to our own project. So let me see if we can make sure to duplicate so everything looks great on both screens. Awesome. Okay. So what we're showing here is top level is a main page for a phone with a forward, back, left, and right buttons. And these are just regular buttons and then some text blocks. So the forward, back, left, right, we're going to send commands to control the motors. And the text blocks, we're going to, instead of sending commands, we're going to receive commands and find out what those sensors are doing. So, if we look at the XAML real quick, and I'll just full screen this, and we'll zoom in, and maybe we'll just double click on the XAML to show that real quick. So each of these button clicks has a very specific name that we're using, forward, left, right, back, and that is important, but they all go to the same button click event. And I'm just going to click go to definition. And you'll notice what we're doing is basically converting the name of the button, get the name of the button, and convert it to this thing called a drive command. Let's actually take a step back and just look at this whole thing in Solution Explorer. There's three projects. One is our phone project. Another is our web project where we're going to be doing the browser-based SignalR solution. And then the last one is this thing called Shared, which is a portable class library. And what that allows me to do is have, I want both the website and my phone app to have a set of .NET types that I can use across both. And that's what this drive command is. So it's a real basic drive command, and it basically lets me know forward, back, left, right. And that way I can send commands to the device. So let's switch back to our main page. Now to actually connect up, we have this thing called the Lego wrapper. And this is what we're going to be implementing. So first things first, let's actually go into what we're going to do to just connect. So all we want to do is write our code, connect to it, and we'll just play a sound versus then start mapping different values. So to play a sound, what we're going to do is, and actually just real quick, what I've done before here, just so everybody sees what you can do, there's two libraries, and again, you get this via NuGet, but one is the platform-specific one, which will be phone, desktop, or WinRT, and then there's a shared one, and that's the common thing that is common across phone, desktop, or WinRT. So you'll want to reference both, and I should have both referenced in my project as well. So we see that core in that phone. And okay, so what we're going to do first, when we do our async task, what we'll do is just, I think I don't have a brick created. So let's actually create one, and we'll say public brick, and I'll just call this Lego brick. And that is what represents this Lego EV3 brick. And now what I want to do is just create a new one. Actually, I'll create it in the connect. Lego brick equals new brick. Now, one of the things is each different device has a different set of communication protocols that it supports. So for example, for a desktop, you could actually plug in something via USB, and this has a small port on the back, so you could actually send commands via USB. Since we're using phone, there's no USB to USB connection, so we're actually going to use a Bluetooth connection. So we'll set the Bluetooth connection there. So we've set the Bluetooth connection, and I'll basically tell it to always send events. So we see events actually firing. And send events will be sending events back in this brick changed event that we'll wire up in just a second. So we have our Lego brick dot brick changed. And I'll just plus equal brick changed. Okay, so now when this thing sends us events, this event will fire, and we'll just put a debug write line fired. So now we know that thing has actually happened. Let me full screen this as well. Okay, so we've shown some of the library stuff. The next thing, we've set up the event handler. We actually need to tell it to connect, and we'll actually need to Lego brick dot connect async, and that'll actually just tell the device to connect. And the last thing I can do is just start showing and playing with the API and show what are called direct commands. So I'll do Lego brick dot, see this direct command? What that's going to do is directly, the second this executes, it's going to execute that command. So there's a number of things you can do to maybe in this LCD control things like draw a circle, draw an inverse, be able to set the mode for things, be able to control the motors. What I want to do is play a tone. So there's a play tone async method, and we'll just do 140,000 and 300 milliseconds. And that'll let me know after, if it actually beeps, that it's actually fired. So there's our simple wrapper that we have. Let's switch back to our main page. And when this loads, I want to try and connect. Lego dot connect. Okay. And one thing you'll notice is this is, of course, async. So we'll want to await. All right. So with any luck here, I'm going to unlock my phone. And this will actually deploy on the phone. But there'll be nothing there since we haven't actually coded up the buttons. All we've done is, what's going to happen is, we connect, we go to definition, we create a new brick, there's a brick change event, which we'll see the text for, and then we're going to play a little sound, and hopefully you'll be able to see hear the sound. Let's make sure our phone is running and connecting to device, updating app. So you did hear that beep, and you see the fired event being fired here. And one thing actually to note, I did notice we were on the wrong page, but we definitely hear that stuff. We can just change the WP manifest because that was going to our next demo. But before we do that, we'll do make sure we're loading the main page. All right, so that little tone tells us it's connected up, the connect work, it did that. What I now want to do is I have a button on my phone. I click the button. It moves the motors. So to do that, what we're going to do is switch back to our Lego. And remember, any button that we clicked, we are telling it a drive command. And it's going to send that command. So if we jump to this, this is nothing more than forward, back, left, right. Now what we need to do is translate. How do we want forward, back, left, right to work with these two motors? And that's what we're going to do next. So to do that, we're going to basically do a bunch of code. We're going to do, let's just make sure that we actually have a brick. If Lego brick does not equal null, oh, actually, we'll just do equals, and then we'll just return. Okay. So this assumes we actually have a brick that we're talking to. And what I'm going to do is just switch. And I'll do the snippet, so it'll do the code spit for me. Switch on command. So notice, it now tells me these are the things I need to do. When I have a forward command, I now need to send a command. Now, previously, we showed the direct commands. Now what we can do is actually batch a command. So instead of just sending one at a time, I want to send two commands to control both motors to have them move forward. Now, to do that, we're going to say Lego brick. You see we have batch command, and we'll do batch command dot turn motor at power for time. And let's full screen this just so we get a little more real estate. Turn motor at power for time. So the first thing we need to do is tell it what motor. And there's B and C. So, and then we need to set a couple of different values. So rather, I'm actually going to jump up here and just set these as hard constants for what speed and stuff we want. So we'll do a constant, and these are uint quarter speed, quarter second, which is the time. That'll be 250 milliseconds, public const. And we'll do 1 second. And this will just make it a little more readable for us. And then the speed. So now we know how long, at what speed we want to do. And we'll say half power. So it's really obvious. And basically what that means is 50. So 100 being full, full forward, negative 100 being full backward. Zero, of course, being stopped. Okay. So For motor C, I want to give it a power. Well, I'm going to tell it that half power. And I need to give it how long I want to do. So for this one, we'll do, why don't we do 1 second? And then whether I want to tell it to do a hard break at the end, which is an option for us from an API perspective, I don't care, so I'll just say false. Now, I'm going to copy and paste this just a couple times. So now, oops, okay, fail. Okay, I now have motor C, motor B. They're both going 50% power for 1 second forward. Well, how do I do backwards? And I'll make that really easy. We'll go copy, paste. Oh, actually, one quick thing even before the, let me actually do this real quick, which is just times by -1. So now 50 becomes -50, and -50 means 50% power backwards. Now here, I've batched these commands. I haven't actually sent them. So what I want to do is just before I forget, is Lego brick batch command, I think it's send async, send command async. And we do need to await that. Okay, this will send whatever set of commands. So forward, half power, this is just times -1. Now things are a little different for tank style driving. Now if you just did power straight here, it would kind of move here. What we can do is reverse. So one goes forward, one goes backwards, and that'll basically speed up the turn. And same thing this way. This one's now going backwards, this one's now going forward, and hopefully I didn't destroy this guy. So let me just show you basically what that would look like, and I'm just going to copy paste as we learn how to do tank style driving, things to add to your resume. So for C, I'm going to do keep it -1, and for B, and in case this mapping is incorrect, and actually I don't want to turn for that long because I may be doing kind of precise turns, so this is where I'll use the quarter second for how long to actually turn. Okay, and the final copy paste here is, we'll just make this real simple, and formatting is ever so important. I'll just change B and C here. Okay, so we've written a lot of code, but it shows us how we can control the motor, how we can set values. Let's actually give this a shot, and we'll see if we can get things working. So I'm going to aim this here. It's now deploying the app to my device. I should hear the beep when it's ready to go. So there's the beep, and I'll just try pressing a button here. So what you see here is I'm going to press right. And you notice it's actually going right. And it may look opposite to you, but at least behind it, it is the right angle. So as I move here, forward, and of course, back. So awesome. We now see a way that we can send multiple commands in a very simple .NET API to batch things up. And now, again, you can, even though we've done two commands, you can imagine doing, you know, a full dance routine, the up, up, down, down, left, right, you can batch all of that stuff and send it at one time. So next thing I want to do is, we've been talking this way, how do we receive data? And I'm going to zoom out a little. And that's with this brick changed event. So what the brick changed event is basically going to allow me to do is be able to listen to events. And I think the one thing I wanted to do was, this is actually the Legos brick change. What I want to do is I have my own brick change, and that's so people can kind of listen in to mine. So I will, I'm almost forwarding this event. So what this will actually look like if brick changed does not equal null, what I want to do is just basically call brick change, and the sender will be me. And I'm just going to forward that on. So what that allows me to do is somebody using Lego wrapper can subscribe to this brick changed event. Let me just build this real quick. We'll switch back to our main page. And how about here? We'll subscribe to lego.brickchanged plus equals lego brickchanged. So now we actually have this data in our XAML page, and now we can just map this to different values. So we'll say text. I have two text boxes on here called distance. And what I want to do is use this thing called the ultrasonic sensor. This, what it allows me to do is get the number of centimeters that this thing is, the actual sensor is far away from. This is a touch sensor, and it has a couple modes that I can actually control and how to get data from. For example, like whether it's push or not, which is like a true false, or whether it acts as like a counter, if you will, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. So to be able to do this, we have this brick changed events, and what I can do is ask it, what port do I want a data from? And if we look at our back, this one is plugged into ultrasonic, is plugged into number 2. So we're going to look at ultrasonic number 2, and then number 4 for the touch. So, and kudos to our awesome cameraman, Larry, for being in here and struggling to film this. So there's our simple value for distance. The next one is just the touch. And there, that one was number 4. SI is just basically the international system of units, but there are ways to get things like raw values in case they aren't processed and so on. But just for our simple, we want to make it really easy. So there we have the two values. That thing should fire, and we should be good to go. So let's unlock. Give this a second. Stay on target. Wait for the beep. Okay. So what you're seeing here is a set of numbers. The bottom number is the touch sensor. So watch what happens when I click it. It changes from 1. When I let it go, it's 0. So it's basically an on-off or true-false. Now that ultrasonic sensor is 100 centimeters from the closest thing. Watch what happens when I move my hand around here. You'll see it get slowly closer, 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 and closer. So the number actually is changing based on the sensor reading. And that is, we're getting that from that brick changed event. So this is really cool, and at this point, you know, the app is drivable, this is great for kids, and so on. You can just see how easy it is to both send commands to the motors and be able to read data from the sensors in your application. So, and we've just really scratched the surface. There's a ton of stuff that you can do in here. We have a full CHUM documentation in terms of all of the different motors and sensors that we have. So whether it's large motor, small motor, different modes, so this could be a counter. There's gyroscopes. The color sensor is very cool, so let's just look at that color sensor real quick. And you can see the different ways that the color sensor can work by looking at its mode, where it's looking at things for like ambience or like a specific color, reflection, and so on. So lots of ability for you to kind of play with. Now what I want to do is kind of transition, and what we're going to do is instead show SignalR. And what I want to do, let's switch back to slides. Is I now want to, this has been Bluetooth to device. Now I want to do is drive this via a web browser. That web browser could be anywhere. So I'm going to be using localhost. But I want a way to communicate for my .NET client, which is my phone, to receive commands from the server and then forward them onto Lego. I want my web browser to be able to send it via JavaScript. And the clear solution here, especially for rich data type support, is to use SignalR, which is real-time messaging and not polling. Meaning I could have set up a web API and just basically had my phone polling, waiting for a new command. Instead, what SignalR does is messaging. It does a number of things. There's an entire session tomorrow by Damian Edwards for it, so I'm not going to spend time on it. But the point is, what it allows us to do is do messaging between a browser and my phone, and I can easily exchange information. real-time messaging as opposed to the phone always having to call out to the server to wait for stuff. It'll listen and then be able to send it. So here's what the demo is going to look like. So I have a laptop. The laptop is going to communicate via Wi-Fi to my SignalR machine. And this could, for example, be somewhere else as well. SignalR is going to receive something via JavaScript that it sends over and says, I want you to drive forward. So SignalR gets it and then sends it to all the clients that are listening, which will be my phone. And my phone is just hitting this website. Once it receives, this message goes this way. So I now know to go forward. And then it does basically the same exact Lego wrapper that you saw. It'll send that forward via Bluetooth to the actual device. Now, to get this to work, you do need to do a couple things. First off is, let me make sure to switch our perspective back to duplicate. And PowerPoint is not responding, which means I will ignore it. But what you need to do is install World Wide Web Publishing Service, full IIS, on the machine, and do the firewall hole so that your phone can talk to your specific IP address. So in this case, I'll just do a quick IP. You'll see that I am at 10.105.3.177. When I go to my app, I have to have that same number. Let me just collapse this, and I have it in app.xaml. 10.105.3.177, and then my virtual directory. So I have that. Now what we'll do is change the start page to SignalR Drive. And I'll click Save. That'll start a page that we've already developed, and I'll quickly show that as well. But let's actually start just kind of with the what you need to do to get SignalR up and running. So this is the web project, and it's nothing more than, we're going to be using Azure. It's nothing more than a file new project, ASP.NET MVC. I've basically done this, which is go to file new, select ASP.NET, choose this awesome template. And now it did do host in the cloud because we're actually going to be publishing to this to Azure in real time, and it does a number of nice things. But basically all this is an MVC application. Let me actually switch back to here. Configured to host in the cloud directly from that file new project. So we have a folder called hubs that contain all the SignalR hubs. And we've done a couple things to our project, which is to add support for the NuGet libraries for SignalR, right? So before you can actually use SignalR, it has to find out how to get to those hubs. And once you have the SignalR package, this will actually include documentation to basically add this. A class called startup.cs with a configuration, and that does app.map.signalR. Now SignalR is you could call it a stateful machine, if you will, if you're designing it that way. For our case, it is, where it's basically, normally you're used to stateless protocol. I send a message, it's never the same message. It could be a different machine and so on. With this is stateful, if you will. So that means I'm going to be able to send message, this hub, I'm going to build some things for me to be able to communicate to that using static member variables and a concurrent dictionary, which I'll show in just a little. But for the real basic demo, all we want to do is, from a web page, what I want to do is you give me a drive command, and you call this whatever you want, and I'm going to broadcast this to a specific set of clients. So if I do clients dot, you'll notice you get others, caller, who's the person that called, a specific client, which uses a connection ID. I'll show that a little later. Or groups, you can define groups and have a different set of groups and then send to specific groups, or a set of specific connection IDs and so on. And what all does is anybody that's listening, including my phone, is going to now receive an event, right? So the web browser sends it to SignalR, broadcast drive command sends it to everyone else. It rebroadcasts it, if you will. Okay, so there's our SignalR hub, just a real basic sample to show that. And let's go ahead and just try and run this. And actually, I think we'll be doing it via web page, but at least you'll be able to see the car or Lego move during this. Give this a second. Ooh, actually, so one thing we got to keep in mind is now we want two projects to work at the same time. To have two projects work at the same time, we had to hit the solution, set startup projects, and do multiple project startup. And what that's really doing is starting this guy, my IS, and the Windows Phone deployment all at the same time. So give this a second. And this is called SignalR Drive. So it's basically waiting for a command, and we'll try and drive here. See if this is actually sending data. This is actually a good example for us to debug exactly what's going on. Ooh, there it goes. And it's a little slow on localhost. It's actually faster when I do via Azure. So there I hit backwards, and you can see the command was originally hit, and there's back. So you do notice a little bit of latency in this SignalR drive while it's hosting on localhost. So what I want to do is actually switch. That's pretty cool, because what this means now, just to kind of recap what we just showed, the phone and Lego could be anywhere. That browser, as long as I put it up somewhere, I could just drive remotely. Well, that's pretty cool. Obviously, you can only have like one driver, do something to authenticate the user. And the nice thing is SignalR has great built-in support for authentication. But really, what I want to do is actually do the Twitch and plays Pokemon version. So if everybody saw this, the idea is you as attendees will be able to connect up, and I'll publish this to Azure and make sure my app is doing getting votes on. You all go up and choose whether the robot should move up, down, left, right, and the most popular one actually gets sent down to the robot. So let's just do a couple things here before get your browsers ready. So first thing we need to do is actually change our page to Vote Drive, and we'll run it. I do see a question there whether the code will be published, and the answer is yes, absolutely. So votedrive.xaml. So because we're changing the URL, I don't want to use my local. What I want to do is use my deployed Lego bot Azure websites, which I'll publish. And the nice thing is, when I did that file new, remember that file new website is free when you did it directly from Visual Studio. It actually did a provisioning for me. So now I can just deploy my app multiple times. And I'll just click publish right here. So this is now deploying to Azure. So this the website is now live. I now need to actually make sure that this thing is listening. I'll give this a second. Ooh, let me make sure to duplicate the screen. Let's make sure we're going to the right, correct one. It should be this one. Okay, we'll see if, so we see distance of 100. So now if anybody is on, you can go to this URL, which is legobotweb.azurewebsites.net, and you can start clicking these buttons. That's legobotazurewebsites.net, and I'll click forward. And hopefully over some time, this data will actually start sending data. And again, it's kind of giving me the data and mapping data backwards and forwards for me. And we'll show kind of how this works. But what we're doing is every 5 seconds, we're taking whatever the most popular data is. And that's you guys driving it at this point, not me, which is, oh, geez, oh, God. Oh, some people want to watch the world burn. So just be, oh geez, oh geez, oh geez. All right, maybe we should Maybe crowdsourcing this is just a terrible, terrible idea, but we'll see if you guys can really break this. So you can see the voting there. So now we have six forwards and back. And just to show some of the distance data here as well, you'll see the distance now pops back to 19. And as, like, this is real-time driving, and we're choosing what the polling interval is. So the reason it's not instantaneous is because we want to poll. Look at you. You're actually saving the robot. Everybody's moving back. So very, very cool. So we do have 5 minutes more. I'm going to prop this up, and you guys can keep on voting and destroying my thing while I walk through some code, just to kind of show everything that was going on here. So that is awesome. I love that you guys are spamming that. What I'm going to do is go back to our hub, because this hub is just a little different than the other hubs that we had been showing. So this is called the Vote Drive Hub. And I'll full screen this. So now what I'm doing is I'm storing data, your votes, in this thing called storage. I have a voting timer and a number of things that the voting timer needs. So one thing, and this is kind of unique, even though the hub is always on and these statics don't go away, this constructor gets called multiple times. So I only want one timer, and I want that to fire every, 500 milliseconds. It's going to get new data and send data back and forth. And what this is going to do is wait until about six of those have happened, and then it's going to send the command to the phone to run. And that command is going to be whatever the most popular command is here. So what that means is timer lapsed, you'll be able to see the votes. Six times 500 milliseconds, so it's like every 3 seconds. It's now updating that web page every 3 seconds, send the real command over here. So you all are able to see the votes every 3 seconds and then be able to choose how to drive this. So how are we actually doing things? First thing is this hub receives data. So the data it's receiving, this phone sends the distance so that you all are seeing the distance. You all from the browser are sending in a drive command and updating that as well. So those are the two inputs. The phone sends sensor, you send your vote. Now for broadcasting, it does two things. It sends everybody the current state, which is how have people voted, and then after 3 seconds, the real vote, the winning vote, is command to run. So two things in, two things out. And there's a number of things that we can do here. The code is available. The two things I wanted to show were in our last couple of minutes here are how the JavaScript side works and some of the things that we do for this storage class. So let's just jump to our dictionary store. So we're using a concurrent dictionary. And what we want to do is if somebody starts spamming, they don't actually count because we're using that connection ID as their unique identifier. So if they open up two browsers, then you get a unique concurrent dictionary ID. But assuming you don't, then what it's actually doing is just updating your vote. So if you did up, down, left, right, that's one vote for whatever your last one was. We update the sensor distance and then doing things very simple, which is loop through all things and give me the most popular. And the one thing, last thing before we switch to JavaScript is, let me just show you this, which is we have this class called Lego State. Now this is a complex class, right? It has a list of drive command counts. It has a sensor distance. And this is basically each one has a command and a count. That's what you see on the web page. So this is a complex .NET type. I'm going to use it in JavaScript. And the nice thing is I don't need to parse JSON. I don't need to do anything. SignalR does all that for me. So this should continue working. And again, just to show you that very last part, my page is nothing more than a couple of divs that I'm sending text to. So on the signal, on the JavaScript side, I have a hub that I create. And now the command to run, that's basically the command that I'm actually going to run. And then the send state, this is where you're basically just updating a text. What's the command, colon, what's the count of that? Command count. Because JavaScript doesn't have enums, I actually built my own quick lookup there. And here's basically how you're voting, which is once it's actually started a connection, add a button click event. So when you're clicking that up, down, left, right, it sends to the server, send drive command. And this value actually represents 0, 1, 2, 3. The nice thing is SignalR did all the things of making that 0 into forward, the 1 into back, and so on using enum mapping. And all of this, this is that same .NET rich type that I do state dot, and I'm able to see the values. I'm now able to walk through a collection, be able to see all the different data types, and all that's really just JSON over the wire that I can read through. So a lot of cool stuff here. The samples will be available online. I'll also be available in the Jabber for those of you who have questions. And I know we need to shut down, so I really appreciate you all. There's so much cool stuff that we can do with .NET. And definitely have a good time on the next talk, which I think is going to be Connect with our friend Ben Lauer. Thanks.